Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Shalom. This is Natalie Sapinski, and you are listening to Returning Home. Before we get started with our lineup, I wanted to just talk to you about something that has been brought to my attention. Interestingly enough, it probably happens to all of us at some time or another. You know, we feel overwhelmed with life, with our work, with our spouses, with our children, and we get, angry, and we start complaining, and this person isn't doing this enough, and that person isn't doing that enough, and everything's falling on me. And that happened to me recently, and I was talking it out with a friend, and she said, we should always be on the giving side. And she's right. It's like no matter how bad things are, if we can find the strength, the energy to do something for someone else, it makes us feel better, and it kind of turns things around. It changes your view. It changes your mental agony, I guess you could say. And it does. It changes things around. And it's not nice to say there's always someone in a worse situation. It's not a nice way to put it. But, you know, everybody has problems. And God gave us these problems probably to make us deal with them. I mean, they don't just happen for no reason. You know, there is a boss up there in charge of the universe, and he's directing things. We have the capacity to handle them the right way or the wrong way. And you can sit and complain and point your finger and say, he's doing this, he's not doing this, he's not doing that. Or you can get up and do. And I love that. Okay, so I love that. And I think a solution for every kind of complaint is to do. Do something. Do something positive. You know, do something productive. Everyone can do something. And a small difference to you might make a big difference to someone else. We'll be right back and we'll hear about some people who are doing just that.
Israel is located in one of the most volatile areas in the world. Israel is an island of stability in a sea of war and unrest. In the midst of this turmoil, Israel stands out as a beacon of order and human progress. Each week we update you on what's happening in this, the Jewish state, a true light unto the nations. This is Jay Shapiro. Join me every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. This is Natalie Sapinski with Returning Home. And we are speaking today with a friend of mine, Meir Raskis. Meir is a recent Olé. He's been in Israel, I think, almost a year. I believe he came from the Baltimore area and is living in Neve Daniel, which is a beautiful community in Gush Etzion. Meir, thank you for joining us.
Hi, fans. Hi, Natalie. Thank you so much for having me on the show. What an honor.
Great. Meir and I actually met recently because we're both involved with Partners in Aliyah, where people from Israel are speaking actively with Olim, potential Olim in the States, right? And we're both involved in that. But I asked Meir to come on the show to tell us about his experience because he is really the most recent Olé that I know in this area. So Meir, why don't you tell us what happened, your story, how you came to be one of us?
So just the fact that we're opening up and saying one of us is just really touches my heart. And that kind of really talks to my story. My story kind of begins in Baltimore. I lived in Baltimore pretty much all my life since I'm 6 years old. My wife as well. We had a beautiful life. We had a great community, kids are doing really well in school. We did very well financially, very involved in our shul, very involved in our school. You know, had great rabbis, great mentors. Everything was great. So now the obvious question is, yeah, but there was always something I felt was missing. There was always a little piece that, you know, no matter whatever happened, I always found I was listening to the news in Israel, checking the weather in Israel, always connected to Israel. And we kind of made up our mind that we wanted to spend summers. So the past four summers, we came here. So instead of, you know, going out west or going to Florida or going to the Rockies, we said, let's put our money where our mouths are. You know, maybe we can't move to Israel right away, but let's at least feel like we're connected there, almost as if we're living there. So we would spend 6 to 8 weeks here in Israel. We'd rent a house and, you know, didn't want to stay in a hotel. Dafka wanted to be in a community, in a neighborhood, and really feel somewhat Israeli. Although not necessarily having the Tudat Zehut, the identification card. And then one summer became two summers, and every year when we left, it was always harder. Like, what are we doing? Like, why are we going back? Like, this is home. Why are we leaving home? And it just became, you know, every time, every year is harder and harder. And finally, last year, we had absolutely an amazing story. I may get choked up. I do that once in a while. It kind of like solidified why we needed to be here. We were driving, and apparently my, at the time, six-year-old gave at the time my one-year-old a pancake to eat. And she wasn't, or maybe she was a little bit less than a year old. Wasn't aware that she couldn't exactly eat a pancake on her own. And my wife looked in the rearview mirror and saw that my daughter was purple. Unfortunately, we were pulling up in Rehavi. We were pulling up to where we were renting our house. And my daughter wasn't breathing, and she panicked, freaked out. Called, you know, 101. We knew to do that. And within like 90 seconds, I mean, maybe even less, a motorcycle pulled up, an ambulance pulled up. There was somebody who worked, my kids were freaking out. My six-year-old who did this was uncontrollable. He was just completely a mess. My wife was a mess. And we were all in the corner there. And after, you know, once the pancake came out and we realized she was okay, the amount of comforting, you know, people, they do their job. You could be in Hatzalah, you could go ahead and save somebody. And there's always a way to do a mitzvah. There's a way you can just do it, check the box. Okay, I'm doing my job. And then there's just going way beyond, you know, any expectation. And that's what happened. Once she was okay and we realized, thank God, everything was fine, you know, that pancake came up. People began to hug us. People began to, you know, tell my children that it was okay, that, you know, and they just sat there. And I just, I'm getting choked up. I just remember sitting in that corner and looking and seeing the scene and seeing all of Am Yisrael, not all of Am Yisrael, but portions of Am Yisrael came together. There was a doctor on our block that came running, just a random stranger who was walking there. We actually ran into somebody from Baltimore who was walking down the street, who his mother-in-law was a nurse or is a nurse and was there. And I just looked and it just felt so like, this is our people. Like, this is us. We're all here in it together. Everybody was concerned. It was as if one of their family members got hurt. And I just turned to my wife and said, why are we going back? This is home. This is where we belong. Oh. Unfortunately, from a work perspective, we had an opportunity to come here. The plan was to stay here for a year. And the minute we landed, I knew I was here for life. It took my wife a few more months longer. But within about 3 or 4 months, once the kids were, you know, I like to say I'm the dreamer. She's the planner, and she likes to remind me that the reason why I can dream is because she plans. So she did all the planning. She did everything, but she's also the worrier. And so she worried about the kids. She wasn't, you know, wanted to make sure everybody was going to, you know, land correctly, as we like to say here, and acclimate and do well in school. Because again, we really were leaving a perfect situation, and we just wanted a better situation. And within the 3-4 months, and we really felt that the kids, the schools have been amazing. The neighborhood's been amazing. The people here have just been outstanding. And by November time, we decided, okay, it's time. So we called Nefesh B'Nefesh. Actually, we called him, I think, towards like the middle of October. We asked him what the process was making Aliyah within Israel. And November, I think, 27th is our Aliyah date. We came. It's a little bit anticlimactic. There was nobody cheering us on. Nobody was kissing the floor at the Nefesh B'Nefesh office. We were handed our documents. We got our Tudat Zehut. And now we are beyond happy Israelis.
Uh-huh. Interesting. Okay. So you like made Aliyah from within Israel.
Correct.
Okay.
So we came here really as an A1, really. And we had to gather a lot of the paperwork on our own, because Nefesh B'Nefesh basically said, we're happy to help you, but we'll help you when you're ready to make Aliyah. And at the time we weren't. So once we did, we had most of our documents in place already.
Okay. So this is what I keep hearing, you know, just get your documents together. We spoke to someone on our last show, same situation. She came for a year work, a young woman, and she made Aliyah from here. And that's a great situation. And I hope flights start up soon and non-Israelis are allowed back in so more people can do that. It is a very touching story. You know, the rescuers, I work with Hatzalah Yehuda V'Shomron, and these rescuers are like, I say they're like silent heroes. You know, they live with us. They're these men and women who like do it on the side, and you never know. You really never know when
no
you're going.
No fanfare at all.
They are the most humble people, and you never really know when you're going to need help. Now you live not so far from me. Okay, you live in Gush Etzion. It's 40 minutes away. When you look to move there in Neve Daniel, which is up on a hill, were you thinking, where's the closest hospital? Where's the closest clinic? Did you think about those things?
No, that's my wife's job. I don't think about that. I got up there. We got to the top of the mountain and said, it's beautiful. I want to live here.
Right.
My wife kind of like, well, where are the kids going to go to school? And, you know, where's the closest hospital? Where's the closest clinic? That's not my department. As I said, I see beauty and I'm like, I'm here. Where do I get a house? And again, it's a whole separate subject or story, but we just really felt, you know, that once the moment we made the decision to do it, everything just, you know, thank God, just fell into place and things just really worked for us. Yeah, I'm not one of the type of people to say, well, God told me to do this and God did this. And, you know, I mean, obviously I'm a God-fearing Jew, or I try to, but I don't profess to know what his messages are. Clearly, I know he's talking to me. I just don't know what he's saying. And one of the things that we found when we made the decision is everything just fell in place, just in terms of housing, you know, with our house in America and then our house here in Neve Daniel, to work, to schools, you know, just meeting the right people, you know, at the right time. Everything just really, really fell into place. And we were beyond blessed to really be fortunate to really see God's presence in our move.
That's something I keep hearing to all these people I'm talking to. Tell us where you are, because I hear happy voices in the background. Share.
So I'm fortunate to work generally a U.S. job. So I work in the afternoons. So my schedule kind of is, you know, I'll start it at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And I work, you know, starting 8 o'clock East Coast time. I work till about midnight. And in the mornings, the kids are in Ketanah in camp. And so we joined a place called Ramat Rachel, which is kind of, I guess you would call it for the people in the United States listening to, kind of like a really nice JCC. / country club. It's called a country club, but I wouldn't call it an American style country club. Beautiful pool, beautiful gym, gorgeous views of the desert, you know, here at the tip of Jerusalem. Just a little piece of paradise. So just another piece of paradise in this country. It's in Jerusalem. Yeah. So it's about a 15-minute drive from our house. So we drive in, my wife and I. My wife's at the gym as we speak. I'm sitting poolside talking to you. And again, just another beautiful, beautiful place to be here in Israel.
There are lots of them. Excellent.
There are indeed.
Yeah. Well, thank you. That was it's good to talk to you. It's great to hear your story. Finally, I've been holding off, and I hope all our listeners out there hear the positive and the calm, because you do sound calm. Not everybody feels that way when they are talking about Aliyah. Some people get anxious. But you said everything fell into place, and you're not the first person, you know.
I want to be clear. I don't. It's not a complete cakewalk. There, you will run into roadblocks. You know, one of the things I always say is, when I was in America, I spoke the language. I was very comfortable. You could pick up the phone. I had my network of people. I could call anybody I needed. Usually get things done. You know, I'm reminded. I'm kind of like the immigrant trying to go to the motor vehicle department and get my license renewed and not really speak the language well. So it is frustrating. It's incredibly humbling when you need to call to, you know, switch out your gas in your house and the people are screaming at you, Adoni, 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 lo mevin, ani lo mevin, you know, and they're yelling at you. And they're like, I'm just trying to get my gas replaced here. It is humbling, requires patience. Things move here significantly slower. But if you come here with the attitude of, you beyond blessed to be here. I mean, I wake up every morning and pinch myself and say, I don't know what I did to be so lucky to live here. And that's really my attitude. So yes, I'm lucky to be here. Yes, there's challenges. Yes, I'm sitting at a pool right now. But, you know, this morning I was on the phone with somebody trying to get something repaired in my house. And it was a frustrating experience. But you know what? Life's all about trade-offs. And frankly, in my opinion, the trade-offs and the benefits here absolutely outweigh the challenges we have here.
Good. Good to hear. Good to keep in mind. Always look at the glass, I guess, half full.
Indeed.
It's important. Very important. It's all in your head. It's all in your head.
Yep. Absolutely.
Stick around. We'll be right back.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
Tamar? She's sassy.
She's smart.
She's funny.
But she's also a real Jewish mother.
Hi, everybody. I'm Tamar Yonah. And yes, I can be all of those things, but at Israel News Talk Radio, I'm here to bring you the news stories and guests that you may not hear anywhere else. Join me live on air Sundays, Mondays, and Tuesdays for the most unique and bold talk radio in Israel.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
The return of the Jewish people to the land of Israel was prophesied in the Bible thousands of years ago and is coming true today. Shalom. Join me, Josh Wander, on Israel Unplugged. Listen in as we delve into the spiritual and physical aspects of the Jewish return to Zion. We'll discuss the biblically mandated, historic, and of course practical understandings of this incredible transition from exile to redemption. That's Israel Unplugged, every Monday on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Did you know this psalm and many others were composed by a Jewish shepherd and musician who later became a king? Would you like to know some of the inner meanings of psalms to help you connect with God and strengthen your soul? An exciting and easy to read book is now available, which will help you do just that. Software for the Soul, Psalms for Everyone, available on Kindle, Audible, and Amazon.com. Software for the Soul.
Modesty at the beach? It isn't just about body image. It's about feeling good. Modest swimsuits, so we don't get burned by the sun.
So we won't get ogled by strangers.
So we'll feel free to express ourselves without the need to expose ourselves.
Let Marcy Modest help you to cover up what you want, how you want.
Made in Israel.
Visit MarcyModest.com. That's MarseaModest.com.
And get a 10% discount on your first purchase.
Two new shows on Israel News Talk Radio.
The return of the Jewish people to the land of Israel was prophesied in the Bible thousands of years ago and is coming true today. Shalom. Join me, Josh Wander, on Israel Unplugged. Listen in as we delve into the spiritual and physical aspects of the Jewish return to Zion. We'll discuss the biblically mandated, historic, and of course practical understandings of this incredible transition from exile to redemption. That's Israel Unplugged, every Monday on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
How did a nice Jewish girl from Delaware end up living in Israel?
Shalom, I'm Natalie Sapinski. Join me on my show, Returning Home. Meet different people who have moved to Israel. Hear their personal stories, their highs, their lows, and everything in between. Each week, we talk to experts on immigration and the process of moving to Israel. Listen to Returning Home every Thursday, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Returning Home. I'm your host, Natalie Sapinski, and we are speaking today with a woman who has opened a spa in Gush Etzion. Her name is Bela Singer, and the salon is called Silk Salon. Some of you may know about this place. But she's going to tell us all about it, how she, created it and made this here, because it's something a lot of women, I'm sure, want to know, and we'll be very happy to hear about. Bela, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me. My pleasure.
Tell me about your business, and then we'll jump back about your Aliyah, unless you want to reverse
sure.
it.
So, let's see. I've been a hairdresser now for the past 10 years, and over the years I've collected six diplomas in hairdressing, and I felt like women in Gush Etzion didn't have a place to go to where they could be pampered and cared for and get all of their beauty services done under one roof. So I created Silk Salon and Day Spa, And we have every beauty and pampering service for women, and also full packages for brides, and everything's machot. And it's just a really fun, relaxing, very feminine and luxurious space for women. We opened June of 2018.
Okay, so really recent, right above the Rami Levy is I think where you're sitting, right?
Right, exactly.
Uh-huh. How do you go about, you know, opening a business here and opening a spa? If you're, especially if you're an American, it would seem a bit overwhelming.
Yeah, you're correct. It's overwhelming. And I think I was probably terribly naive and, you know, crazy brave, just crazy to do it. But I just decided it had to be done. And I was going to find ways to understand questions that would be asked of me by speaking to people who were more fluent in Hebrew than I am. Basically, the way I started this whole thing was I went to an organization in Jerusalem called Mati, that's M-A-T-I, and they have business advisors. So you sit with someone, you tell them your business plan, and they do a business search in the area to see if there are other places similar to that. So, you know, demographically, they need to know, is it going to fly or not? Is it a good idea? Is it a bad idea? And if they say, yeah, this looks really feasible, then they have ways of helping you get loan money. The state of Israel has business loans at very, very low interest rates. And they help you put together a business plan and to figure out what it's all going to cost. So you have an idea of what to ask for your loan. And they're really nice and they speak English and they sit with you and they help you figure it out. And they'll tell you if it's a bad idea. They'll say, no, you know, I see that there's already too many, you know, small makolets in that area. It's not going to work. You need to come back to me later with a different idea. Or if it's a great idea, they'll say, yeah, that looks really feasible. Let's go ahead and let's get a plan together and submit it to the state for a loan. Mm-hmm. So that's sort of how it worked. And I went through this great guy at Mati. His name's Ruby. And he helped me with everything. And I applied for the loan. I got the loan approved. Then I had to find a contractor who would help me build this whole thing. And
that's a whole big deal. I mean, getting anything done, I think, in Israel has been, it could be a real big deal. But for spas,
you have to get the Ministry of Health involved. Because where we live in Gush Etzion. So for Gush Etzion, there's a place that you have to go to apply for a license, because every business has to be licensed. So you bring to them the blueprints, you bring to them, I had to bring to them all of my diplomas. I had to bring, codes from the fire, the fire codes.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So did Mati help you with all of that also?
That's pretty much what they do, is they try to like go through and help you step by step go through everything you need to go through. But you have to have someone come in who's from the fire station, you know, the Israeli fire station. I can't remember what it's called right now, okay. But they come in and they have to check the fire codes, and you have to have everything inspected, and they have to bring all this paperwork into this office, which for me was in Gush Etzion, and you have to submit all of the paperwork, Yeah, and they have to go through it and make sure it's all correct. And, you know, they usually send you back 3 or 4 times because that's how it is in Israel, like nothing simple. Right. And it's kind of a headache at the beginning, and you have to just keep on going, you know, yeah. keep on plodding through and not let anything stand in your way. If you're going to do it, you just have to be determined that you're going to do it no matter what.
Yeah, you
and
did.
It takes a lot of mental strength and fortitude because, or craziness. Maybe I'm just crazy. I don't know.
No, you kept your eye on the ball. I love that. I love it.
Yeah.
I really do love that. Business women owners, women who do things on their own, you know, it just wasn't like that for many years. And there's still families it's not like that. And, you know, we really can't take any of that for granted. We need to support each other. And I'm so, I'm proud of you, you know, like you're this foreigner from Colorado and you did it.
Oh, yeah. And I didn't own a business in Colorado. Like I've never owned a business before. This is my first business owning venture. And if I had to do it again, Natalie, I probably wouldn't do it. I'd probably do something a little smaller, a little simpler with that less square footage so that it wouldn't be so expensive. But you know, hey, go big or go home, right?
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So before that, so that's really only 2 years old. And I mean, right. I didn't know about it. And before then, let's just go back because, you know, Gush Etzion has, I don't know, around 30,000 people, I guess, maybe a little more. And it's growing. It's been growing for the past 10 years more. And yeah, this need has obviously been there. I mean, women need to get their nails done, their hair done, and, you know, waxing. This is what women do.
Right. And massage and all kinds of, you know, relaxing, pampering services. Yeah, absolutely. So it's a stressful life. We need to have a place to unwind.
Well, even there's the unwinding, and then there's just the regular care, because there are women who do this just to keep themselves feeling normal. What did they do? What did they do before? Were they going to Jerusalem?
Well, they were going to Jerusalem or to people's houses. A lot of people have like little places in their basements, you know, so there just wasn't a professional full service police in this area. So, you know, and there's actually not really anything in Jerusalem, unless you go to a hotel, that has all the services that we have.
So that is amazing. Tell me your background.
It's not what you'd expect at all. I used to be a home birth midwife, and I have a master's degree in archetypal psychotherapy, which is a Jungian therapy, psychology, and it's sort of a dream and archetypal based therapy.
I got to slow down because I don't know that middle word you're saying. Archetypal. I'm thinking architecture. Yeah. What is she saying?
Yeah, I knew you wouldn't, you know, you wouldn't be expecting this coming from a hairdresser. I have a very eclectic background, and it took me, you know, it's just taken me a while to discover what I really like to do. What can I say?
No, that's very healthy. You know, that's very healthy to change and realize. It's called self-actualization, right? So that's what that's what you're doing. And I'll tell you why I'm asking you how you built this spa. I think that, and so many of us come here, I feel that Israel made me stronger. And okay, so that's what I want people to hear, because I think it probably made you stronger too.
I'm sure you're right.
Yeah. You know, to build a spa is a business, and it is
right.
It is you know, we're kind of in a chauvinistic country here, let's just say, you know, it is. But but I love when I heard about you, I love, and I'm in a group called Ima Kadima, you probably have heard of that too. I love these women who come here, and there is like no ceiling here. And I don't know if it's because we're foreign, or if it's because we're educated, or if it's because we aren't afraid. But here, I don't feel afraid. And I think what you've done, throwing a spa on top of the grocery store, a brand new mall where there was nothing, And, you know, it could have sat empty. Like, lots of places do sit empty for years.
Well, everything there upstairs has closed down except for me and Hello Achi, the cellular phone guy. People can go to the website and see it. It's www.silksalon.co.il. And there's like a little video that like gives you a sort of a tour of what we do and what the spa looks like. But it's beautiful and luxurious and very pampering. And everybody has fun there. I have fun because I'm doing what I love. And the women who come in have fun because they're pampered like they've never been before in their lives. Like we all, me and my staff, we just bend over backwards to make women feel really loved and cared for. And it's just a really fun place.
Definitely tell them you heard about it on this show, right?
Yeah, for sure. We'll give you a nice discount if you mention Natalie's show.
Oh, well, listen to that. You get a discount. That's great. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
In a time where feelings have become fact, where rational thought and common sense has disappeared, one man stands above it all.
I'm Howie Sobiker, your political hitman.
Political Hitman airs every Tuesday at 11:59 p.m. North American time, 7 a.m. Israeli time, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
Are you interested in transforming your life, drawing closer to the Creator, and uncovering the deeper meanings and hidden treasures in the Hebrew Bible?
Then join me, Rav Yitzhak Michelson.
And me, William Hall.
On The Science of Kabbalah, where we are seeking to narrow the gap between what we understand of our physical and spiritual worlds. So make sure to tune in every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
Welcome back. This is Natalie Sapinski, and you're listening to Returning Home. We have with us today guests from Pittsburgh, Solomon and Gabriella Horvitz. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Great. Glad to have you. So I understand we found you on the Partners in Aliyah group. This is the group that I keep telling our listeners, one of the grassroots movements of Olim in Israel matching up with potential Olim in America. So it's a great place to find people and actually have a pretty long waiting list. So you are lucky that you've got a spot. And Gabriella, I want you to tell us why you're moving to Israel, how long you've been planning it, and a little bit about your background, if you don't mind.
Yeah. So I actually made Aliyah when I was 18 after a year in seminary, and I lived there for a total of 4 years. And then when I was drafted into the Israeli army, I came back to Pittsburgh for a visit to my family, and the law changed. I didn't have to serve, and I took some time to think about it. In the meantime, I met my husband, Solomon, and we've been planning to move back to Israel ever since. And that was 10 years ago this August.
Was Solomon, had he ever been to Israel?
A few times.
Okay. So good. You know, I'm bringing that up because there's a whole topic, couples, that one wants to go to Israel and one doesn't. And how do you convince the spouse? And that's probably really hard.
Yeah. So it was like one of those questions on our first dates, like, do you see yourself ending up in Israel? Because I was there just visiting. So I was willing to put, I had like gave up my apartment and put all my stuff in storage and was going to stay with my grandmother while I was serving in the army. So it wasn't such a big deal. Like I had kind of like put my life on hold. So I was like, okay, I'll stay here. I'm a Pilates teacher. I signed up for a year long course. I'll stay here for a year and see if this relationship takes off. And in the meantime, we got engaged and got married, and now we have 3 kids, thank God. And we've been planning back and forth, like every 3 years or so, one of us would say, okay, it's time to make Aliyah. But the other one wasn't, I wasn't ready one time, and then he wasn't ready one time. And then about 3 years ago, we really were like, we can't keep pushing this off. We have to take the plunge. So it's been in the works really for the past 3 years, and please God, it's going to happen really soon now.
So you're a Pilates teacher. What does Solomon do?
A little bit of everything. I went to school for elementary education. I never ended up teaching. I ended up going into plumbing for quite some time. Then I got injured and I ended up using my degree and going into the nursing home field. And for the past 5 years or so, I've been working in nursing home on the corporate end of things, doing marketing, doing form of headhunting, you know, getting employees into the building. So it's been quite fun, especially with everything going on now.
Okay, so you know, I got to ask you, what are your plans for jobs and stuff when you come? This is a big topic that people are all over the place.
So it is a big topic, and I'm just gonna be pretty straightforward about it. I don't have anything lined up work-wise in Israel. I have no intention of taking my job from here to Israel, but I know that there are plenty of opportunities available in Israel. And, you know, I'm gonna make the most of it, work as hard as I can. And I'm sure, you know, starting off, I may have to do something that is not necessarily in my wheelhouse, but we understand it's gonna be a struggle at first. We're not jumping the pond and, you know, somehow miraculously Hashem's gonna make our bank account grow without us doing nothing.
Gabby, where did you find this guy? Everybody needs a guy like this. This is an attitude we need. I love it. I love it. It's great.
Who knows? I might be a farmer there.
Nahon.
I might be, I don't
shepherd.
Know.
Shepherd. You might be a shepherd.
If Hashem grants me the ability to spend the days in a field learning with someone else and watching some sheep or goats, I'm cool with that. Opportunity is what you make of it. If you go into something, the negative attitude, you're not going to have a good outcome. But if you go into something with the attitude that you're going to make the most of it, you're going to work as hard as you would anywhere else, you'll see that Hashem will provide for you. So I'm not worried. You know, a lot of people, it's like when people say, like, when I have enough money, I'll have a kid. I'm like, you realize, like, when your kid's five and you lose all that money, you can't put them back, you know? So, like, you go into something with faith and you take the leap and you get it done, and that's what it is. And whatever is going to be. And I look forward to the journey, to, I'm sure, part challenge, whatever it is. But we're excited for it. So please God, it'll all work out.
It will. And you have the right attitude. And we need more like you here. Less talk, more doing, you know. And once you're here, you said you're going to come and live for a year and get a lay of the land. And that's the way to do it. You know, just get here. Once you're here, any, you know, miracles happen here.
Yeah. Every other time we've talked about going to Israel, all it was talk. This time we talked for a while, but then we sat down and we decided this has to happen. It has to happen now, and we can't keep waiting.
So does this have anything to do with the climate there, the anti-Semitism, the coronavirus, the elections coming up, anything like that? Or did this just happen totally on its own?
You know, sorry to interrupt my wife, but, you know, I'll say, and it's so sad that sometimes in America we're so blinded by the gullus. You know, I'll just say it that way. So yesterday, the coronavirus doesn't bother me as much. You work in the nursing home industry, you learn a lot about it. We have these outdoor minyanim, and I was talking to someone, and he said, there's no one killing Jews here in America. And I turned to him, and I said, are you serious? And he said, yeah, where? I'm like, literally, we live in Pittsburgh, which just a year ago had someone kill Jews because they were Jews in a shul. I don't care if it was a Reform, conservative, this, that, the other. It was Jews that got killed in a shul because they were Jews. So is the climate changing here? Yes. Is that a huge part of our reason? At this point in time, it is a huge part of our reason, but, you know, we've always wanted to do this. So sometimes Hashem has to give you a little kick in the tush and say, hey, you got to get it going, you know?
Yeah. Don't wait.
Our oldest child's going into first grade. So we really wanted to make the move before he gets any bigger than this, because we want the the adaptation for our kids is really important for us. So we want to do it before they get any bigger. So, you know, we don't want it to be hard for them to make friends, or, you know, we want the language to come easy to them. So, and that was when we were planning on doing it for that reason.
Excellent.
Yeah, I have a sister who lives there. So she's finding out, she's doing the groundwork to get us an apartment set up until we figure out where we're moving to.
It's very good. Great. Where is your sister?
She lives in a place called Chavat Ma'on.
It's right near me. Who is your sister?
My sister is Tzipora Ben Yehuda.
Oh, I know her. Melanie, you tell me who you were. Kidding me? I live in Galicia. I see her every day.
Yeah, you know Melanie.
Yes, yes, I know Melanie.
She's my big sister.
Okay, well then.
Yeah.
She obviously doesn't listen to my show because she would have known. That is so funny. I am dying.
Baruch Hashem. Yeah, our kids near their cousins, you know, they'll have 5 built-in playmates across the street right away. Thank God. That's part of why we're going to go near her.
There are very few English speakers down here. There might be 20. And we're talking about 20 different yeshuvim. And that is, now I think it's about 10,000 people. So you will stand out. And it might be a little challenging, but you're coming at the right time. They're young, and your sister's there. We're here. We'll find you. And you know, this is very exciting. I'm going to tell my kids, another English-speaking family, you know, there just aren't many. Your sister can tell you. I used to pull my boy out of class and read to him in the yard of the school at a picnic bench. And the principal saw me doing this and didn't like it. And he said, "Why are you doing this?" And I said, "Well, he's an English speaker, and he knows the letters, and I want him to read." So another boy in his class asked me if I would take his kid. They had lived in Australia for 3 years, wasn't exactly an English speaker, but the mother saw me doing this. And so I had a little group of 2 students, and that got the attention of the English department, and they created a class. And I think your sister was the teacher. And that was a class. Okay, it's 2 students who speak English do not belong in the class with the Israelis. So,
right.
Just so you will maybe, everyone listening, listen, English family moving to Har Chevron, there's room for more. This is great. Well, thank you so much for speaking with me. And, you know, I would like to follow you because since you don't have your flight date yet, you really are telling me a couple weeks off. We're already, we don't even know if it's going to be this summer, right? I mean, it could be after the Chagim. Okay, well, that's just a little bit of technical bureaucracy, and you'll manage. For sure you'll manage.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
I mean, we'd like to get there before the Chagim. It's a little bit unrealistic, it looks like now, but please God, we want to come before the election here.
Yeah, well, you let's hope so too. Let's hope to do. But in any case, you're on your way. This is not like you're just talking anymore. This is happening. So that's great. That's great. Thank you, Gabriella and Solomon. That's Gabriella and Solomon Horowitz from Pittsburgh. That is unusual because really the English speakers down here are few and far between. Look, some people want to be with familiarity and people who speak English and share the same culture. I mean, here it is different. We are in the minority, and it's not for everybody. But if you have a sense of adventure and you want to be in a place without crowds, this is the place to be. It is the best part of Israel. As always, feel free to contact me directly. You can email me at natalie@israelnewstalkradio.com. All right, everybody, take care.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture.
The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candle lighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
Howdy, this is Rita from League City, Texas, now living in Israel. And though my heart may have belonged to Texas, it now belongs to Israel and all the fantastic show hosts at Israel News Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Michael Solomon from Kiryat Arba, Israel. And why do I love listening to Israel News Talk Radio? Because I love listening to the interesting interviews they do and their news reporting that most other media sources don't cover.
Hey, this is Nicole Eko from Malmo, Sweden. It gets pretty cold here in Sweden, so I love cuddling up with a warm cup of tea while I listen to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is Frank Morris from Tennessee. Me and my dog Buster really love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.